today on Real Radio.
But the truth of the matter is there ain't nothing going on out there in the mountains of Montana. Well, that's the point. That's why I'm going. Why would you go there when God wants to use you in Crazyville? Right? Listen, Jesus only went to the mountain to get recharged by the Lord, and then he went back into Crazyville.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A United Front, continues in the book of Philippians chapter 3 with verses 17 through 21. The Apostle Paul tells us in these verses to follow him as he follows Christ. It's only when the true believer obeys the doctrines of God, as Paul did, that the church can move forward in a powerful way in this world. A united front can happen if Christ is our one goal and our one example. We often become like those who influence us, so let those who have integrity and walk in righteousness be our guides. That way, we're all advancing together in the Holy Spirit, all in one direction. We are not to idolize our leaders or put them on a pedestal. For the more we forward the gospel of Christ, the more humble we should become. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that for the church to survive, it is to be a living and breathing example of the will of God. We're all in one family, growing together with the strong helping the weak and the healthy helping the hurting. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Once you became successful, by the way, your goal at this point was to simply exhaust the weaponry of your opponent. Let them launch at you all they want. Catapult, flaming arrows. Just let them shoot at you. Take this position and hang on. And let them launch their worst at you. Once you detect, and this is what the commander would do, once they were able to detect that the enemy forces that's attacking you, or that they may be defending their home, but you're coming after them, once the Romans detected that there was a lull in the launching, that means they're either reloading or they're running out, then at that time they would advance. Next picture. That's how they would advance. You tell me how to stop that. In fact, you see this position? That might look, some of you in law enforcement, that might look familiar to you because that's the position they took in Ferguson in the riots. This is what the police officers had to do. You can't stop this. In the ancient Roman world, they would advance, they would advance, they would advance, and then when the enemy started launching again, they would go back into that position of the united front again until the munitions of the enemy had been exhausted, and then they would advance. And then, listen, that line right there would break out. That box would break out into a line, and the spearmen behind the shields would just be able to devastate the opponent. So you wear out the enemy's weapons. The next thing that is interesting, look at this next picture. Once that happens, you release your fury upon the enemy. They have nothing to fight with. They've been completely disabled, and Rome conquered the world under this ancient warfare tactic. So the opposition would be exhausted of their ammo. Number two, the opposition would expend all their energy fighting you in advance before you even launched the big stuff. They had no hope. And thirdly, which is the most important, all of that to bring about this for the victory. Once you saw this coming at you and you only had two more marbles left in your sling, you lost your will to fight. And the enemy's united front was broken down. The enemy's front becomes disunited. Are you with me? And they scatter. Listen. Personally, do you believe that the Church of Jesus Christ, I'm talking about Calvary Chapel, Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Wesleyan, I don't care who you're talking, those who fall under the blood of Christ today, would you say the church is united and advancing? We are scattered and divided. And the enemy knows it, and he's picking people off. That's why he's having a heyday right now. He's tearing up families. He's ripping men from homes. He's got women looking at other places. He's got kids growing up without parents. The enemy's just having a ball. Why? Because we are so dispersed on the hillside. The only way that we can be victorious is that we unite in the united front, understanding that there's an example to follow. It's not mine. It's not Billy Graham's. It's not Chuck Smith's. It's not Rick Warren's. It's not fill in the blank. It's Jesus. And Paul would say today, if he was standing right here, he'd say, listen, don't follow me to follow Paul. Follow me as Paul follows Christ. And I would just say, hey, let's say this. Let's follow Paul as he follows Christ, as long as Paul follows Christ. And if Paul swerves, we're going to still follow Christ. That's the thing. That's the issue. This is a critical hour. The church has got to unite. Can she unite? She can unite if she's willing. How's that? Second thing is verse 17. When Christ is set as our one goal, we will have a lifestyle that honors him. He says, and note those who so walk as you have us as a pattern. The word note here is an amazing word. It's skopeo in the Greek. It means to spy on them. I like this. It means find your spiritual leaders and spy on them. I mean, I'm not endorsing stalking. But the word means to really, 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 really watch them. Watch them. Listen to them. Is their lifestyle a lifestyle that is worthy of you mimicking them? What can you find out about them? In this day and age, you can find out a lot about a person, more than ever, I believe. The Bible encourages that we should be looking at each other like that. I see you. If you're a spiritual leader, a Christian leader, does that scare you? It shouldn't scare you. Listen, one of the greatest things you can do, brother and sister, in your Christian life is to become honestly accountable to people. Let me make this very clear. I hope I don't offend anybody, but if it does, too bad. Here's the deal. You can join an accountability group all you want. You can tell somebody that your computer is accountable to this program that monitors your conduct. That doesn't keep you from buying a new or different computer. You can tell an accountability group anything. The greatest thing is to note those who are among you, as he's talking about, know their lifestyle, which means we are to live with one another. Now, we live in a culture where most of us have our own homes. We didn't have a communal world like the early church did. And in Philippi, they were actually doing pretty well. A lot of people had their own places, but it was very much like apartment living. Remember when you were just starting out in your young life and you lived in an apartment? You could hear your neighbor flush their toilet. Right? Remember that? You could hear people talking through the walls. There's some good to that. Where's my socks? Shh, the neighbors are going to think you're yelling at me. Hey, how about this? The best form of accountability is live your life publicly. Live it out there. Live it. Don't hide. Why would you hide? None of us are perfect. All of us, I would think, have gone over 55 miles an hour. But it's the accountability that's public that causes us to slow down, and you use that application to answer to whatever you're thinking about. I know we live in an age that's crazy, and people, and I don't blame them emotionally. I'm getting out of this place, man. I'm moving to the mountains of Montana. Well, wouldn't we all like to move to the mountains of Montana? But the truth of the matter is there ain't nothing going on out there in the mountains of Montana. Well, that's the point. That's why I'm going. Why would you go there when God wants to use you in Crazyville? Right? Listen, Jesus only went to the mountain to get recharged by the Lord, and then he went back into Crazyville. Heaven is our Montana mountain retreat, right? Now, honestly, no one told me anything this morning about Montana. If you were thinking about Montana and you came to church this morning, Your friend didn't call me. I didn't know that. That must have been from God if you're moving to Montana. I'm just telling you right now. There's this escapism. And rather than panic, we can rejoice in the fact that more than ever, the world needs to see you and I living a life that people can spy on. Let them spy on us. Those who so walk. The word means you walk straight up and straight line. It's the word that means Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to damnation and eternal destruction. And many people are on that path. But narrow is the walk, the way that leads to eternal life. And few people find it. Convicting, right? Strong words. But that word means to be publicly seen. And the word pattern here means we get our word from this Greek word. We get the word die. If you're in machining or if you're in engineering, the cast, to cast or to die is to strike the mold, right? It's to have a mold and something is poured into it. Be poured into the pattern of a Christian life to be lived. Church, listen, at this point now, I run the risk of losing your attention because this is super practical. God is saying in this day and age, for the church to survive, she must be heated up and poured into a mold that when she cools, as it were, down and is taken out, she's an exact representation of the will of God in the earth. The church is to be the living, breathing example of the will of God in the earth today. And that's only possible by the person of the Holy Spirit using the Bible in our lives. This called us to unite us. How is that possible? Verse 17 says, by one family, because we all have but one family. We're one family now. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, find them, spy on them, seek them out as you have us as a pattern. One family, growing together. Listen, the strong being picked up by the weak, the healthy helping the hurting, the body of Christ, the family of God, it is incumbent. Listen, I don't want to lose you. Wake up, tune in. Here's the deal. Find out how you can bless, love, and aid people in this church. And if everybody's doing so well, then let's find someone else outside the church to help and to love. You're doing it right now in Louisiana, for example, or Haiti right now, today. The group is in Haiti right now. Or Mali, West Africa. There's a whole bunch of work going on there. You name it. Think of it. We're the body of Christ. We're going to be in heaven with each other forever. And the Bible says we will know one another. We'll know Christ even as we are known. What does that mean? There'll be no dummies in heaven. Really. See, am I going to know my husband in heaven? I don't know. Is he a Christian? Oh, yes. Well, you'll know him there. If your husband's not a Christian, you won't know him in heaven because he was never born again. Are you hearing me? He won't be there. Will you miss him? Nope. You'll have no knowledge. No. I think this woman over here said, praise the Lord. No. Focus. Focus. You only know those who are in your family. Think of that, narrowing it down to illustration. You know them here and now because they've been born into this world here and now. In eternity, in heaven, you'll only know those who were born a second time. John 3. That's good to know. You will not be in heaven lamenting your loved ones who never came to faith in Christ. There'll be no knowledge of them. They will never be remembered. I'm grateful for that. One family. First John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says, we know that we are of God. That's a huge statement just there, isn't it? We know that we are of God. Can you say that? Listen, are you trusting Jesus Christ to have died on the cross for your sins? Listen, did you give Jesus your sins when you came to Christ? Now that you're a Christian, when you sin, do you still give him your sins? Good. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, the devil. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. Well, who could that possibly be? In his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Leave that on the screen for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, a side note to being in the family. You must today believe that the eternal life that God gives, note it, read backwards, the eternal life that comes from the true God, who is that? None other than the Son, Jesus Christ. Look at it. And we are in him who is true. The Greek demands. You cannot wiggle out of this, ladies and gentlemen. You may not like it if you're from a cult. Tough. This is pure truth. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, this is the definite article, the true God and eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. Jesus is the true God. You can't get away from it. You believe this or you do not believe this determines your genealogy. You want to go to ancestry.com? You look it up, ain't going to tell you nothing about this. Well, I come from a long line of royalty. Well, good for you. Do you come from the spiritual line which God is looking at? From Abraham, for example? All those who trust Christ are in the spiritual DNA of Abraham. The second thing we see in verses 18 to 19 is a united front happens when we hold truth as preeminent. We're to hold truth as preeminent. Christ is set as our goal, and the second thing is that the truth is highly esteemed in our lives. Verse 18 teaches us, because truth is the one power, truth. Truth is, we don't often think of that, do we? Truth is the single one power. I was in a discussion this last week with someone who was, it was a counseling session and about the truth, and this person's being lied about, and my heart went out to them because they are being lied about and all this, and as I told them, I said, listen, all I can offer you right now, because of the incredible complexity of your of the battle that you're in, I can tell you this right now, and you're not going to like it, but it is absolutely true. Listen, time itself has to surrender to the truth. Did you know that? Did you know that time itself eventually must surrender to the truth? Amen. This is not philosophical mumbo jumbo here I'm talking about. This is for real. Over time, lies are always exposed. And you name it. It could be scientific lies. That's an oxymoron, isn't it? Scientific lies. That's impossible. Science is true. The problem is it true science or is it false science? So, true science being true, time will always prove it to be true. A lie over time is always exposed. It's a fact. We know that the Bible says in the end, standing before God, before Christ, lies will be exposed. Truth is power. Truth is the one power that comes from God, for he is true. He says, for many walk. The word in Greek means not a few. Look at verse 18. For many walk, not a few, a lot. Listen to the apostle's heart, of whom I have told you often. Wow, see that? I have it underlined in my Bible. Of whom I've told you often. What does that mean? Paul repeated himself over and over and over again to people. What was it that he said? If I say the same thing, sometimes, I mean, I have to repeat things. Sometimes the word itself repeats things. But it's funny, it's encouraging. Sometimes you will write me a note and say, you said that last week. You have no idea how thankful I am for you saying that. No, I mean it. It means that you are listening. Do you know that's my job? Is to hope and pray that I'm saying something that people are listening to? If you're not listening, I'd rather go bake a cake, and I don't know how to bake a cake, but I'd rather do that. Paul is saying, I've told you this over and over and over again. What is it? Well, now I even tell you, now I'm crying about it. He's saying, look at his words. He said, now I'm telling you, and I'm weeping. I'm crying. And immediately I'm struck with, again, how far the church has backslidden away from its practical position. Pulpits, don't you think? You think I'm stretching this? I don't know. It's the Bible. I'd rather be found guilty obeying the Bible. It seems verse 18 is telling me that pulpits ought to weep. Didn't Jeremiah weep? Pulpits ought to weep. The Apostle Paul wept. Why? Because he looked at how the church was so fragmented. And what he's about to give us is a profound admonition, it's called, and exhortation. By the way, just so you know, an admonition is a warning about a common danger. An admonition. An exhortation is that I've told you what to do about it. This is what he's going to say. And there's no getting around it. This is a grave warning, church. I believe it's Julius Manti, the great Greek scholar, says that this verse means that there are people who once did claim to be a Christian, or they still were claiming to be Christians, but their lifestyle and or their doctrine proved otherwise. Did you hear that? Just because someone says they're a Christian means absolutely nothing except that they pose a threat to the true body of Christ. It would be better right now for Bill Maher to come on this stage and say, I'm a bold-faced atheist. We get that. I appreciate that. Thank you. At least he's honest, right? You know what's the greatest danger to the church? I'm a Christian. Oh, brother. Oh, man. Why'd you have to say that for? Why? Because none of us know you. Now we have to get to know you to see if your proclamation matches up with your lifestyle. Well, I don't care what you say. I'm a Christian and I rob banks. I'm a Christian bank robber. No, I was kind of silly, right? But why do we not laugh at this next one? I don't care what you say. I'm a Christian, and God wants me to sleep with my boyfriend. Oh, you see, I'm a Christian fornicator. Well, you know what? I'm a Christian. I don't care what you say, Pastor. I like to sleep with other people's wives, and I don't care what you say. I'm a Christian adulterer. Really? You think that's going to fly in the face of God? Paul says these people are false. And Paul says they're among us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A United Front. Thanks for listening. And our hope is that you are a part of the family of God, walking in truth, cleansed, and being made whole in Jesus Christ. Today was day two of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, if you are new to Christianity and you'd like to know more about Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the tab there that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. It's a great place to be introduced to the Lord and to learn more about what we've been talking about here on the program. Maybe you have somebody in your life and you don't feel comfortable being the one telling them how to know God. Well, why don't you let us help you with that? Send your friend or loved one to the reallifewithjackhibbs.org website and have them click on the Know God tab. You know, a lot of our Real Radio listeners like to take their walk a little bit deeper. And one of the best ways you can do that is to get the special devotions from Pastor Jack once a week. If you sign up for the devotional newsletter, you can get his devotions sent straight to your email. So it makes it convenient. You don't have to have any reminders or anything like that. Or even better, why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and access the devotions right there. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click right there on the Devotions tab. Get the Real Life devotions from Pastor Jack and take your walk with God to an even deeper level. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.